So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And welcome, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well today. Anyway, let's talk about Bank of England interest rates, shall we? It's gone up. It's gone up half a point to 2.25%. Well, isn't that wonderful? And so there's a knock-on effect here that we're going to have. And do you know what? I have on my monitors, I've got, because I'm very eco, because it's 2022 and you have to be very ecologically friendly. My monitors have 46 seconds to power off. Like, I just started a podcast and my monitor's not nervous. So I apologize here, but I have to actually just, there we go. I have to push the little button. Hang on, I'm back. I have to push the little button so it doesn't think I've left because we're very energy conscious, you know. Anyway, so interest rates gone up half a point today. Is it good? Is it bad? What do you think? I don't think it's very good. There's a huge amount of properties going on the market right now from landlords. Landlords have had enough, but on their way out. The rumour is that Liz Truss is going to cut stamp duty, which would be nice because we've got some stuff that we're going to sell. So that's really good. But that doesn't help people. How's that going to help tenants? How's that going to help people at the very lowest amount? How are Liz is on about cancelling the national insurance rate interest, national insurance hike. How's that going to help people? So you're putting money back in people's pocket through not paying as much interest rates, but you're taking money out of people's pockets to curb inflation. Again, it's just a lack of joint up thinking. But should we really expect anything different from this government? And I don't think that we should, quite frankly. Like, what do you think? This government's a shambles. It's been a shambles for 12 years. The amount of homelessness that we already have that has increased, the amount of food banks that have absolutely rocketed. There are more food banks now than McDonald's. Is it like 3,300 food banks, 2,400 McDonald's? I might be wrong on those numbers. But it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, what are we going to do here? How are people going to survive through winter? Not only have we had an increase, a massive increase in the cost of energy prices going up, now those people who struggled and saved and did everything they could to not be tenants and to become homeowners, unless they happen to fix, they now got another increase in their cost of living. And Liz is going to come along, oh, we'll reduce national insurance by the 1%. Yeah, because that'll really help everybody, won't it? The only people that it helps are Liz's wealthy and Boris's wealthy friends. Let's just talk about trickle-down economics as well for a minute. Like, trickle-down economics doesn't work. I don't know who has the brain cell this week in the government. Liz, obviously. Although she might have passed it around to Kwasi Kwarteng. If you saw him, his behaviour at the Queen's funeral, that's just, what are you doing? Anyway, trickle-down economics doesn't work. How about trickle-up economics? How about this? How about we tax the wealthiest? Anybody who's got, I don't know, income of more than 10 million, right? Let's tax that. Let's get rid of the homelessness off our streets. And I don't mean shoot them. I know Liz would probably quite like that, but I'm on about, how about we actually help these people? How about we skill them? How about we help them with their difficulties that they've got? And I know, well, most people, they want to be homeless. That's bullshit. Like 5% of homeless people want to be homeless. The other 95% have got problems, mental health issues, they're addicted to drugs or alcohol. They can't see a way out. If you've ever been incredibly depressed, and I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there, and like everybody watching this has been there as well. I just realized I can't spell Bank of England, by the way. Let me get rid of that because I'm just going to edit that. Because it's really bothering me. There we go. Save and show. Like, how about we just help the very poorest in our society, first of all? Trickle-down economics is not going to work. It's never worked. We need to help people. Help people on low-paid wages. They go on about the low-paid economy and increasing the low-paid to get them higher paid. Well, the only way to do that is to raise minimum wage. But the wage inflation hasn't really happened for the last 15 or 20 years. People are still on such low incomes. And if it wasn't for the minimum wage, people would be on even less. Like, where do you go from a minimum wage? There's not much more to go in terms of getting an increase. If you're already on minimum wage, you go from what, £8, £59 to £10? Whoopee-doo, that's life-changing. I'm sure that will change people's lives. And yet, the doubled bonuses on bankers, because that will help. Brexit got rid of 7,000 jobs in the city of London, financial jobs, right? They all went, to Frankfurt, for God's sake, and they went to anywhere but the UK, doubling people's ability to earn twice as much bonuses as a banker is not going to magically bring those people back, because it's not the bankers that make those decisions. It's the businesses that make those decisions. And Brexit has put a barrier to all of that. Like, this is really, it's not even difficult to work out what's going on here. Look at me. I'm getting all excited because I'm frustrated with the situation. It's not even that difficult to work this stuff out. But apparently, if you're in government, it is. Should we get on to something a bit more pleasant then? So what are we going to do about it? Like, what are the answers? How do we get from where we are today? And if you're struggling with money right now, how do you get from where you are today to getting to February, March? How are we going to increase your income? And really, I think that's what this podcast is about. It's about helping people with actual advice. What can you do? So the first part is cash flow. Now, cash flow is the amount that you earn minus the bit that you spend, the bit that's left. That's called cash flow. That allows you, you know, if energy prices have increased and you've got some cash flow, it just means your cash flow is slightly less, but you still got some left over. Now, some people, they've got this much cash flow left over, right? And so prices go up, interest rate rises go up. They've now got negative cash flow, which means they're now having to borrow off credit cards and that kind of thing. So what are the steps that you can do if you're in that situation, you're struggling to make ends meet, or you're worrying that you are going to be struggling come October, November, December, January and February? We've got Christmas to get through. We've got a cold spell to get through. Fuel bills are going to go through the roof. So what can you do? A couple of things, I think. Number one, get a side hustle. If you're not already working in a business and you're not self-employed in some way and you're working 9 to 5 or even 60-hour weeks, you need a side hustle. Something where you can – one of the good things I love about Gary Vee is when he goes off to his garages and he buys stuffed toys and then he sells them, you know, buys them for 50 pence and he sells them for 18 quid on eBay. I think that's amazing. Even though he doesn't need to do that, it's kind of his hobby, isn't it? Like, is that an option? Can you find stuff? Can you start trading stuff? Absolutely. I started my career, age 17 I was, at college. And it was actually before then, it was 14 and 15 years of age, selling, do you remember the 3.5-inch floppy disks? 1986, I had an Amstrad 2086, do you remember those? And they had 3.5-inch floppy disks, not the 5.25 that you had on BBC Micros. No, these were professional 3.5-inch. We'd buy them in bulk, buy 5,000 discs, and then we'd split them into hundreds and we used to sell them. And we used to do fax shots. Do you remember those days? We would run fax shots. I'm 14, right? I'm living at my mum and dad's, bought all these discs, and I couldn't buy as much as I wanted, so I had to do tasks and jobs, and I'd wash cars, and I'd go around the neighbourhood sweeping up snow and all that stuff, right? And that money would then be used to buy some floppy disks, and we'd sell those, and then that money would be then used to start doing website design when we got into the late 90s. And, you know, when you design a website for £100, whoa, a whole £100, that's all margin. And so we would use the money that we'd earn from the, you know, shoveling snow or cleaning cars, we'd buy floppy disks and then we'd sell them. And then we'd take that money to buy better equipment and then we'd create a website. And you, so you can see us going up and up and up like this in our income and our availability of cash flow, because this is what it was about. It's about cash flow. And then when we turned 26, we got, you know, we bought our first house at 40 grand, obviously an amazing, 42 and a half it was. Moved all my mates into it. I slept in the living room, turned it into a HMO. It wasn't called HMOs in those days, of course. And they made me money. They gave me my beer money. It was awesome. But all the way through, we were constantly buying and selling, ducking and diving. I felt like Del Boy some of the time. But that's where we came from, and that was our background. And so we would have side hustles. I've had a side hustle since we were 14. People go, you're obsessed by money, Dan. And I'm like, dude, it's not me working 60-hour weeks earning money, is it? It's not. I'm not obsessed by money. I'm obsessed with freedom. I'm obsessed with what money gives me. Money gives me the freedom to move to Spain. If I want to leave after this and go for a walk down on the beach, I can do. I can. We've just had a delivery of wood, which I need to move. But I could go, do you know what? I'll do that tomorrow. It's going to rain. But if I want to walk down to the beach, I can do that. That's what money gives you. It gives you this freedom. It also gives you, because I've had a car repossessed. It's one of the most depressing things to ever happen. Don't get me wrong. I know there's more depressing things. But having a car repossessed, I've come to take your car away, sir. Oh, so depressing. More money enables you to do that kind of thing, right? And so more money enables you to pay your electricity bills and have some left over to have a nice Christmas. And if you want to splash out and go to the theatre or go for a nice meal or go for a big night out, you can do. But not having money means you're stressing about paying your bills. You're stressing about your mortgage interest rates going up. You're stressing about what's Liz going to say on Friday for her emergency budget. Heaven help us. And so you've got to start increasing this cash flow. Remember, cash flow is how much you earn minus how much you spend. The bit that's left, that's your cash flow. What can you do? So can you cut costs? This bit here, can you cut costs? The budget on the spreadsheet that I know you haven't got. Is that something you should create so you actually know how much you're spending to the penny every single month and then working out where can you save £5 or £10 or £20? It all adds up over a period of time. And then you worked out how much you're spending. What about how much you're earning? Is there a way that you can increase that just slightly and make it slightly bigger? If it's an extra £100, £200, will that actually make a difference in the next 3 to 6 months? Hell yeah. Like, this is one of the things that it took me a long time to kind of realize was that if I earn, let's say today, if I earn an extra £300 this month, will that change my life? No. Will it make life easier in some way? Of course it bloody well would. It's cash flow. If I do that every month, is that going to make a difference every single month? Of course it will. If I can increase that from £300 a month to, which is £10 a day, by the way, to £20 a day, is that going to change my life? Not necessarily. Is it going to make life a lot easier? Is it going to add more options? Yeah, it's absolutely going to add more options to what can I do with that £600? Yeah, 600 quid. £600 is £7,200 a year. Give it 3 or 4 years, there's a deposit on a buy-to-let, right? So if you're right at the start of your buy-to-let journey and your property journey or your investment journey, it doesn't have to be property, is earning an extra £20 a day, let's do the maths, everybody. Let's do the maths. Is earning an extra £20 a day, 20 times 30 days, it's £600 a month times 12, 7,200. Sorry, I got my maths slightly wrong there. £20 a day is the 4 cars that you can go out and wash today. I remember having an argument with a school teacher. I'm a school teacher. I've got a degree. I shouldn't have to go out and earn extra money. Dude, you got 30 grand's worth of credit card debt. I think you need to go out and wash some bloody cars. Well, that's disgusting. How rude. And I'll tell you what rude is. There's a Ferengi rule of acquisition. I can't remember what it is. Pride in an empty sack is pride in an empty wallet is worth an empty wallet, right? Forget about your pride. It's not about pride right now. Let me find this because now I've said it. I need to know pride and empty wallet rules of. Look, I'm just a nerd. I can't help it. It's just, you know, can't help it. Here it is. Rule 109. Dignity and an empty sack is worth the sack. Love that. 109. I've just lost it. 109. Let me find it again. Look, I know you think it's sad. I don't really care. Dignity and an empty sack is worth the sack. I would rather have no dignity. I mean, I've got no dignity anyway, so that's fine. I would rather have no dignity and money in my bank account, washing cars, 4 cars a day, that's £20 a day, times it by 30 days a month is £600, at £7,200 a year. Don't tell me you've got no money. You've got to make £20 a day. We make £20 a day by selling our £27 training course. We normally sell, depends because it's slowed down, but we normally sell one of those £27 training products per day, right? That's an extra $7,000 a year off the creation of one product. You don't have to be washing cars. And Mr. Schoolteacher was having an argument with a couple of years ago, but I remember it now for some reason. He doesn't have to sell cars. He didn't have to sell shovels. He could have created some online training course. He could have done coaching, but all sorts of different things that you really enjoy. I love basketball. Become a basketball coach. Can you get paid an extra £20 for the hour to coach one person one-on-one, like an hour a day, every day for the next 30 days? Of course you can. For all sorts of different things that you could do to get yourself out there, this is what's going to get you through this cash flow. Now, we've talked about stuff at the very small end. Let's talk about stuff that is slightly bigger than that. If you're running a business and you can find a way of making an extra £100, I'm going to need my calculator again, an extra £100 a day. It doesn't sound like a lot of money, does it? An extra £100, well, I'm just going to watch Netflix instead. Even if you're having to work 3 hours at £33 an hour, £100 a day, like, how much is that? What effect is that going to have? Well, £100 a day times 30 is an extra £3,000 a year. A month. £100 a day. Like, I do struggle with my numbers today. I don't know why, because I'm excited by this. £100 profit per day is £3,000 a month, right? Times 12. £36,000 a year. £100 a day is an extra £36,000 a year. Don't tell me that you can't find a way of doing that. You buy and you sell. You provide services in some way for some people. Is that four people at £25 an hour? Is it two people at £50 an hour? Don't tell me that you can't do this. You can. And usually it's not that you can't do it. It's that you haven't yet found the motivation to do it. And the thing that's going to motivate you to do it is Bailey's knocking on your door, coming to take your car away. Your kid looking up at you with those big sad eyes because you couldn't afford the toy that they were desperate for. Like, I know this is harsh, and I know some people might be going, damn, that's really harsh, that's me, and I'm upset, and I've tried everything. You haven't. Because if you'd have tried everything, you would be doing that today. Look, it's tough love, and I get it. Someone's got to say it. And if it's not me, then who? Got to get off your butt. You got to make a difference in your life, because I tell you what, in 50 years you're dead. Someone went up to Gary V and said, motivate me in three words, and he said, you're gonna die. You are. It might not be today and it might not be tomorrow, it might be in 80 years, but you want to get to the 80 years having lived a life where you're not having to struggle for money day in, day out. And the way that you do this is by growing the business, by growing your cash flow. The cash flow is your amount of income minus your expenses, whatever else is your cash flow. That's your profit. And minus tax as well. Let's not forget that your government wants their fair share so they can go ruin it on another $37 billion on track and trace. You know, they need to waste their money as well. So that's how you're going to get through this. Look, I hope that's useful for you. Quite passionate there. But, you know, this is where we're at today. Interest rates are rising and they're not going to go down anytime soon. The only way to solve this, you're going to have to grow your business. You're going to have to find a way of getting more cash flow. All right. I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next one. My name's Dan Latto. Have yourselves a wicked day. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.